Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. And I'm here every day, Monday through Friday, at 12 noon Eastern, because we do live in a toxic world. There are many toxic chemicals, but we do not have to get sick from them if we know what they are, where they are, and how to avoid them, and how to have much, much better, healthier, more beautiful, more delicious, more pleasing things in our lives that create health. That sounds good. So today we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving dinner. We're going to be talking about having a delicious Thanksgiving dinner that you make yourself from real, whole, organic foods that is absolutely the most delicious thing that you've ever tasted. My guest today is Kayla Daniel, PhD. She's the vice president of the Western Price Foundation, and she's on the board of directors of the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. She's received the Western A. Price Foundation's Integrity and Science Award in 2005. She's been on Dr. Oz, on PBS Healing Quest, NPR's People Pharmacies, and many other shows. She's also the author of The Whole Soy Story, which is an excellent book about the dark side of America's favorite health food. I learned a lot about soy from reading that book. So today we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. Hi, Kayla.
Hi, Deborah.
How are you today?
Great. Looking forward to Thanksgiving and talking on this show.
Me too. Okay, so first would you tell us about your personal interest, how you got interested in all this real food, soy, all the things that you do. What was your personal story?
Yes, well, like many, many people, I was a seeker. I wanted to be supremely healthy, and I was not. And, of course, like many people, I was reading their plant-based diet and diets and vegan diets were healthy, and soy was the healthiest food of all, and so many newspaper accounts talking about soy as the miracle food and the joy of soy. And I got really curious, in part because I was seeing a whole lot of vegetarians who did not look all that healthy, and many of them were eating soy. And I was just very curious about that and started investigating, and I thought it would be a fairly simple project, but it went on for a number of years before I finally learned everything I needed to know to write the whole soy story. And yes, there is a dark side to soy.
Well, I know. I mean, this show is not going to be about soy. We can talk about that in another show because I really want to get to Thanksgiving. But I do want to say that I had my own personal experience with soy where I was eating a lot of veggie burgers and protein bars and things like that. And I also, prior to doing that, I had a thyroid problem, and I was taking thyroid supplement. And I was taking my thyroid supplement, and then I would immediately eat a protein bar, immediately. And I would go back to the doctor, and he would say, "You're not taking your supplement." I would say, "Yes, I am." And he says, "No, you're not. Your blood tests show nothing. Like, you're not taking it." And then I realized that, that I was eating this soy bar, and you know, there was no reason for me to connect it to, except that I was just looking around to see what might be canceling out my thyroid medication. And I stopped eating the soy bars, and my thyroid supplement started working. And so I then later on in life could associate all kinds of hormonal problems, that when I ate soy, my hormones would be unbalanced, and when I didn't, then my hormones would be fine. And I just finally stopped eating soy altogether. It just, everything that you say in the book has happened to me. So that's something to consider. But today we're going to talk about Thanksgiving dinner without soy. Now, tell us about the Western Price Foundation and what it does. I went to a Western Price conference a few years ago when I was invited to speak, and that was the best food that I had ever eaten anywhere. You know, I just want to tell everybody that usually you go to a conference and you eat whatever the hotel prepares. And when you go to a Western Price conference, you eat the food that they are advocating, and it's organic and it's handmade. And we had, like, when I was there, like, handmade tortillas that were made in a traditional way. We had coconut cream that had been flown in home from Hawaii. It was the most delicious food that I had ever eaten. And it just, so tell us about the Weston Price Foundation.
Well, we're a nonprofit educational foundation based in Washington, D.C., and we're advocating for real food, whole food, and slow foods, particularly as our ancestors would have eaten. And we're supporters of small farmers. We're supporters of locavorism and the right to eat real food, because sadly, we're losing that right in many, many states. It's becoming harder and harder to buy directly from farmers, and more farmers are going out of business, and we're just supporting farmers and the rights of consumers to get access to that real food that is so healthy for us and so good for the environment too. And it's also non-toxic, which is
right.
What we all need, as you well know.
Yes, I do know. This is the food that you're talking about in the Weston Price Foundation is exactly what we all should be eating, because not only does it not have artificial sweeteners and additives and artificial colors and flavors and all those things, and BPA from can linings and plastic from packaging. Not only does it not have any of those things, but those foods, those locally grown, organic, grass-fed, whole foods, they have the most nutrition. And one of the things that we're really lacking that is causing us to respond so negatively to the toxic chemicals that we're exposed to is that our bodies are just undernourished. We're eating a lot of food, but we're undernourished. And that's what the Weston Price Foundation is doing, is fighting for us to still have the right to have those traditional foods as they're supposed to be, from nature, not agribusiness kind of foods, that they're not industrial foods, they're natural foods. And so we're going to be talking about the basic principles of eating that way as we talk about Thanksgiving dinner. So, Kayla, tell us what you're having for Thanksgiving dinner next week.
Well, I have a very small family, so I'm going to be having a good free-range chicken.
Uh-huh.
And vegetables, sweet potatoes, plenty of butter, and of course with that chicken, the skin is going to stay on. It's going to be a really moist and delicious chicken. And if I had a really large family, I think I'd be going for one of those heritage turkeys.
Yeah.
And they're those turkeys that get to run around in the great outdoors, and they see the sun, and basically they get to hunt and peck. And something a whole lot of people don't realize is that chickens and turkeys are not vegetarians. They eat a whole lot of insects and grubs, and you should see some chickens fight over a little bit of hamburger if it comes their way.
Mm-hmm.
They are not vegetarians naturally.
Well, I think that most animals out in the wild, I'm trying to think of a vegetarian animal. Are cows vegetarians? No, they're eating bugs too. And worms? Interesting question. Okay, so tell us a little more about, you mentioned butter and skin on the chicken and things. What's the importance of eating fat?
That is such a great question, because we've all been misled to think that fat is dangerous and we should be low fat. But Mother Nature put fat in a whole lot of tasty foods. And what I have to say is, did Mother Nature make a mistake? Was she out to kill us? And of course not. And in regard to, say, chickens or turkeys, what a whole lot of people don't realize, and you just see it in article after article and internet blog, all talking
about all... Wait a
minute.
I have to stop you, because we have to have a break, and you can tell us after the break what all of those internet blogs say. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Kayla Daniel, PhD, from the Weston Price Foundation, and we're talking about Thanksgiving dinner, so stay with us. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and today we're talking about Thanksgiving dinner with my guest, Kayla Daniel, PhD. She's the Vice President of the Weston Price Foundation. So we're talking about how Weston Price principles applied to Thanksgiving dinner. Before we go back to Kayla, who's going to tell us something that I interrupted her about or before the break, I just want to say that I now have a food blog, which I've been wanting to have for a very long time. And today is actually the first day I'm announcing it to the general public. You can go to my website. You can go to Toxic Free Talk Radio. And across the top, there's a menu. And one of those buttons is food. And just click on that button. And I've got lots of Thanksgiving-oriented recipes. Not every dish, but you can find, like, I had so many cranberry recipes for how to make cranberry sauce and relishes that I actually had to write a little free ebook to get them all in because they wouldn't fit in a blog post. So that's the first thing you're going to see, and it's free and you can share it with your friends. And I also have a recipe for really delicious gluten-free cornbread that you can make into cornbread stuffing, and I tell you how to do that too, and how to roast a pumpkin, and how to cook beans, all kinds of things. These really great pumpkin muffins. Oh my God, you'll love those. And a pumpkin pie recipe that has no sugar in it, but it's sweet, and it has no crust, but you don't miss it. So anyone can eat this pumpkin pie. So I just want you all to know that there's Thanksgiving recipes on my website. And so if you want to take a look at those, you can. Just go to Toxic Free Talk Radio and click on food at the menu across the top. Okay, Kayla, back to you.
Okay, well, we're being delighted with all sorts of blogs and articles about how to have a healthy turkey day. And there is just so much misinformation out there. And so many of those writers, often registered dietitians, but right across the board, most of the articles all talk about turkey. And they recommend, of course, that we don't eat the skin, and they talk about the evil saturated fat. But the fact is, it's not mostly saturated fat. Chickens and turkeys are mostly monounsaturated, 44%, and about 23% for the omega-3 and omega-6s. So saturated fat is comparatively low, and in fact, there's nothing wrong with saturated fat anyway. But they're always talking about that, and they're also recommending white meat because the fat is lower and the calories are lower. Well, first of all, I don't think that matters either. But here's the thing, there's a whole lot more nutrition in the dark meat. There's more iron, zinc, riboflavin, thiamine, and other B vitamins, and especially vitamins B6 and B12. So that's a trade-off that maybe we don't want to make. We probably should be eating white meat and dark meat. And the most important thing might be actually that we eat the skin. And why should we eat the skin? Because of all that good collagen, because that's what we need to feed our skin, our own skin, and our joints. Collagen is such an important part of a healthy whole foods diet.
Well, you know, one of my basic things about food has always been, but it hasn't always been, because like everybody else, I started out with industrial food. But as I learned more about nature and health and what my body needs and what nature provides, what I figured out was that we really should be eating all the parts of everything. And so so to eat the skin, I mean, obviously you can't eat the bones, but what you do is you make broth out of the bones. You eat the skin, you eat the dark meat, you eat the white meat, because the whole animal has all together, it has all the different things that are needed. And one of the things that industrial food does is that it fractionates things, and so you only get bits and pieces of what nature has to offer instead of the whole thing. So that makes sense to me. And what you said about the joints, you know, see, what I do is I roast a chicken. In the wintertime, I roast chicken. I roast two chickens every week, like on Sunday, two little chickens, because that's enough to feed me. And then I eat roast chicken, and then the rest of the week I put it in soup or in my salad or whatever, and so I have that protein. It's already there. The first thing I do, and I roast them on the bones. I don't buy chicken breasts. I roast it on the bone with the skin. And the first thing I do when I pull it out of the oven is that I just rip that hot skin off and eat it. And I know some people are going to gasp when they hear it, but it feels right in my body.
The skin is so delicious, and keeping the skin on and cooking chicken that way, it makes it moist, it makes it delicious.
It does.
There's so much taste from that.
It does.
And we should also be like chewing on things like the drumstick, because right along the bones there's all that cartilage, and like feeds like, and the cartilage helps feed our bones. And doing a new book, which is coming out next year, which will be called Nourishing Broth, I learned about all this research on cartilage that actually indicates it's wonderful for balancing out our immune systems, modulating the immune system, preventing autoimmune disorders, preventing infectious diseases, even some history of healing cancer, for example. So we don't want to ignore those parts of the animals, and we certainly don't want to think that they're not healthy for us, because they are.
I totally agree. Totally agree. So let's see. So do you eat stuffing with your turkey? When you fix a turkey?
Stuffing can be wonderful. And of course, you know, all that fat is what gives all the flavoring to it. Many people will probably be looking at gluten-free stuffings this Thanksgiving, because more and more people are discovering that gluten is a problem for them. But the good news about the bread that's the gluten-free bread that's in stuffing is, with all those other flavorings in it, it's going to actually taste good.
It's going to taste better than it tastes by itself. We need to go to a break again. But when we come back, I want to talk about gluten-free bread and stuffing more, because I have some things to say about gluten-free. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Kayla Daniel, Vice President of Western Price Foundation. And we're talking about Thanksgiving dinner. We'll be back and talk about stuffing. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and today we're talking about Thanksgiving dinner with my guest nutritionist, Kayla Daniel, Vice President of the Weston A. Price Foundation. You can visit Dr. Daniel's blog at drkayladaniel.com, and her name is spelled K-A-A-Y-L-A, drkayladaniel.com. So we're going to be talking about gluten-free now, and she's got an article, the first blog post on the page today is about how soy can interfere with things being gluten-free and the healing of your body. So if you want to read about that, you can go to her website, drkayladaniel.com. So here's what I want to say about gluten-free, and I want to hear what you have to say about gluten-free too, Kayla. My objection to gluten-free, first of all, I'm gluten-free. And there has been, there have been time periods in my life where I went off gluten and I really struggled with it, but I've been not eating gluten at all. I haven't had like one morsel, one crumb of gluten since about June, I think, of this year. And I haven't struggled with it at all, because I have wonderful other things to eat that I'm not sitting there saying, oh, I can't eat this and I can't eat that. I have cookies to eat made out of different things. But the problem that I have with most of the gluten-free products that are on the market is that they're made up of all kinds of industrially processed ingredients. And so there may be no gluten in it, but there's all these starches. And when I eat those gluten-free products, it just sends my blood sugar out the roof. And So my philosophy about gluten-free is that if we're eating natural, whole foods, organic, the kind of real foods that we're talking about, that we can just eliminate whatever grains we want to eliminate, and we can still use whatever ingredients are left to put together to make anything. I haven't found, I mean, I use a lot of almond flour, but you can also use coconut flour and all these different things. I make really great muffins. Just on my food blog, I'm starting to post all these gluten-free things that I'm learning to make from whole, real foods instead of going to a store and buying a package of industrial ingredients that are labeled gluten-free.
Well, I'm certainly with you on that, Deborah. I think we can make some really delicious gluten-free products ourselves at home with, as you said, almond flour, coconut flour, and some of the other options. And the truth is, what we're finding in the stores, besides the fact that there's often soy in those products, there's a whole lot of other inferior ingredients. And it's overpriced and not really that healthy for us. In some ways, for many people, just removing that type of food from our plates is healthy too, rather than to seek all these substitutes that never taste as good and leave us craving for the real thing.
I agree with that too. Like, I don't even try to make something that resembles wheat bread, because I love wheat bread, and you know, it's just like nothing is gonna substitute for that. But I find that I can eat other things that I enjoy just as much. And then I agree with you on that point. That whole real foods are just so delicious that I don't even miss anything, all those gluten-free foods. And the gluten-free packaged foods just don't taste that good. They just don't. They taste like cardboard to me. In addition to not
being healthy. They really don't. And, you know, so many of my clients, when they're trying to go gluten-free, they keep trying to substitute, and they keep trying to make breads and muffins and pasta and all of those things, and you're just never going to be happy.
Yeah, it's just not the same. But if we appreciate the foods for what they are and find something else to enjoy, that's really what's been successful for me. So let's see, what else is on the table?
Well, you know, in terms of that chicken or turkey, in terms of the stuffing, as I already mentioned, you know, even if you're using a gluten-free bread in there with all of the broth and the fat and the other flavors and spices, it's going to be moist and it's going to be delicious. But Jenny McGruther, who does the outstanding blog Nourish Kitchen, she has a roast turkey that involves things like lemon and onions in the cavity, and of course that's gluten-free and giving it a powerfully wonderful flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a tip that I think is really great for a Thanksgiving dinner where we're using a, say, heritage turkey or heritage hen. And they need to be cooked very slowly for a long, long time at a low temperature. And that's what gets them really, really moist and juicy, because sometimes these leaner chickens and turkeys can end up very dry. And, of course, so many people, even if they're using supermarket chickens, they end up very dry. Dryness is often a problem. And the answer is long, long cooking.
I have a friend who, she doesn't cook heritage turkeys, but the way she cooks turkey, just her regular organic turkey or natural turkey, is that she puts it in the oven when she goes to sleep at 250 degrees, and it stays there all night. And when she wakes up in the morning and takes it out, it's falling off the bone. And she says that that is her favorite way to cook turkey.
That is so delicious, and what a wonderful way. Of course, the food police get very alarmed at the idea of cooking at such a low temperature, but we're starting off with really healthy, clean chickens and turkeys that are not likely to contaminate us.
Yes, yes. Okay, so what else do we have? Green bean casserole.
As I recall from way, way back, isn't that kind of thing often made with Campbell's cream of mushroom soup and
yes.
other
cornstarch? Yeah, I mean, and French fried onions on top. And I mean, it's just a lot of packaged foods. But I have found that I really like, I love green bean casserole, but I don't want to eat all that garbage. And so I've taken to making green beans in cream sauce with onions and mushrooms. And it doesn't taste exactly the same because it's not all goopy, you know, like cream of mushroom soup is. But it's delicious. And it's very easy to make. And you can just take, like, I can get grass-fed cream at my natural food store. And so I just take the green beans. I get organic, frozen organic green beans, and I put them in a skillet. And I hear the music. I'm going to have to tell the story after the break. I'm so interested in talking about this subject, I'm not even watching the time. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we're talking about Thanksgiving dinner. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and today we're talking about Thanksgiving dinner with my guest nutritionist, Kayla Daniel, PhD. She's the vice president of the Weston Price Foundation. And before the break, I was in the middle of giving instructions on how to make creamy green beans instead of green bean casserole. And it's actually very simple. All you do is saute some onions, saute mushrooms in butter, and saute your green beans until they're all cooked. And then you pour in a little cream, like heavy whipping cream, and not too much. I mean, just enough to not even cover them. And you just let the cream cook down, and it thickens into cream sauce. You don't need to put any thickener or anything in it. It's just the cream will do it by itself. It's absolutely delicious and a wonderful substitute for green bean casserole. So, Kayla, I think we should talk about dessert. What's your favorite Thanksgiving dessert?
Well, I'm a big fan of gingerbread with lots of whipped cream.
I love gingerbread.
Most people for Thanksgiving, they're looking for pie. And that's a very important thing to make a healthy version of, particularly the crust. Now, a traditional crust that's flaky and wonderful will involve lard. And lard, many people are surprised to find out that lard is a very healthy fat, mostly a monounsaturated fat. And if it's coming from pastured pigs, it's rich in vitamin D and very good for us. It makes a wonderful, wonderful crust. But when people go buy a ready-made refrigerated one from one of the big food manufacturers, what they're going to get instead, probably partially hydrogenated lard, which is not a good thing, you know, spoiling a good fat. Mm-hmm. And besides that, there's going to be enriched flour with a whole lot of synthetic vitamins put in, as well as a lot of preservatives and even things like citric acid, yellow dye number 5, and red dye number 40. I mean, why should these be in a pie crust? I'm not sure, but they are. So a really good plan to make our own healthy pie crust.
It's actually pretty easy to make pie crust. If people are eating wheat, it's very easy. I've found it's a little more difficult to make pie crust out of other flours, but that's something that I'm experimenting with, and so that's going to be coming up on the food blog. So I just want to say again that you can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com. Up at the top, there's the main navigation menu. Click on food, and I do have a pumpkin pie recipe with no sugar. It's very sweet just by itself, and it has no crust. So that's a way that everybody that I've given this to loves it, and I put whipped cream and nutmeg, freshly grated nutmeg on top, and it's fabulous. And again, I also want to mention that cranberry sauce is a big thing, that everybody has cranberry sauce on their table, and yet cranberry sauce has pesticides and BPA from the can, and bisphenol A is an endocrine disruptor. Endocrine disruptors disrupt every part of your body because it's about the hormones, and hormones go and communicate with all your different body parts. And, you know, really basic things like whether you gain or lose weight. I mean, you can get that from your Thanksgiving dinner just by eating canned food because of the hormone disruptors of bisphenol A in the can lining. And it's also sweetened with high fructose corn syrup. Tell us about high fructose corn syrup.
Well, the short answer is you don't want it.
Yeah.
it's much worse than regular fructose, and some people even have too much fructose. We're not designed for these things. And among the other problems with high fructose corn syrup, there's actually a lot of mercury in it. I mean, talks about it,
oh,
talk
I didn't
about
know
a toxic
that.
Metal we don't want.
Wow. Wow, yeah. And so, I mean, that's not something you want to eat for Thanksgiving dinner either. So I put together some recipes that I've been developing over the years for cranberry sauce and cranberry relish. Put them in a free ebook, which you can pick up there, toxicfreetalkradio.com, and then click on food. It'll take you to my new food blog, and you can get that free list of cranberry sauce and relish. I just want to tell you how easy it is to make cranberry sauce, just plain old cranberry sauce. You just boil some water. You throw in some cranberries. You bring the water back to the boil, and then you boil it until the cranberries pop, which is about 2 minutes. And then you stir in whatever sweetener you want. You could use honey. You could use coconut sugar. You could use evaporated cane juice, anything you want to use. Or you could use sweet fruits. You could use apples. You could use apple juice. There's so many ways to sweeten cranberries. And then you just let it cool off. And as it cools off, it gels by itself. And there is no mystery. It's one of the easiest things to make is cranberry sauce. So there's really no reason why you should be using cranberry sauce. And then you can put anything else you want in there, like oranges and walnuts. And I love cranberry sauce. And you can make your own relish. You can just get raw cranberries, put them through the food processor, chop them up, pour a little raw honey on it, and you've got raw cranberry relish. But you can add all kinds of things to that, too. So this is for me, cranberry sauce and cranberry relish is a way to be really creative at Thanksgiving. This is one of my favorite things to make. So what else would you like to say that we haven't said? We were almost at the end of the hour, but we still have a few more minutes that we can talk.
We'll talk very briefly, the sweet potato casseroles that so many people make with marshmallows. Marshmallows typically are, if you're lucky, there's sugar in there. It's more likely going to be corn syrup and factory farm gelatin and all sorts of artificial flavorings. So that's definitely something I would want to avoid. And just to point out that people who want to
have... But sweet potatoes are good for you. Sweet potatoes themselves, it's just all the sweet stuff that they put on top. And see, here's another opportunity where you could just start with the sweet potatoes, and if you roast them in the oven, just put them on a baking sheet and leave them in the oven at, say, 350 degrees or 400 degrees, and just leave them in the oven until they get really, really soft and they start bubbling sugar out of it. You see these bubbles of sugar. They get really sweet. You don't need the marshmallows. You don't need those things. And I just like sprinkled nuts on top, put a lot of butter on it. That's so much better than those marshmallows.
And so true with any of the vegetables, just if for people wanting to keep things really simple, plenty of butter makes everything better. And it also allows us to get the full benefit of the beta-carotene, converting it to vitamin A, and that's where a lot of the nutrition in, say, sweet potatoes comes from.
Hmm. Good. So the butter in the sweet potato actually helps the nutrition in the sweet potato?
Yes, it does.
Wow, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
So it not only makes everything taste better, but we get more value from the beta-carotene because we are able to convert it with the fat added to true vitamin A.
Well, I'm always in favor of putting butter on everything myself. And, I think I once read a book. I forgot what the title was, but it was talking about how we know what's good for us to eat. And I've noticed that for myself, that it's just like my body feels good when I eat certain foods, and butter is one of them. And so to have some scientists tell me that butter is not good for me doesn't make sense to me. I mean, I'm not saying that we shouldn't listen to science. Science proves things. But we also have our own ability to know, our own intuitive ability to know what, that our taste buds are drawn to eating foods that our bodies need, that has the nutrition that our bodies need. And so I think we should eat what tastes good to us.
I think so. And I feel really sorry for a whole lot of vegetarians who are going to have tofurkey this Thanksgiving.
I agree with you.
although the name is so wonderful. I mean, in laughter's good medicine, but what a funny name. I mean, brilliant marketing. But what a whole lot of people don't realize is the main problem with tofurkey is not the tofu, the soy in there. It's that a huge part of it is wheat gluten.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was mostly soy. Well, you know, it's just, for me, I was a vegetarian for 9 years. And I was, at the end of the 9 years, I was not healthier. And then I ate some meat and I went, I need to be eating meat. And it really made a difference. But the problem that I have with vegetarian is the same problem that I have with gluten-free, which is that people say, I want to be a vegetarian or I want to be gluten-free. And so they go buy a vegetarian product or a gluten-free product. And then what they're eating is industrial food. And I think it's wonderful to eat a lot of vegetables. I think it's wonderful to eat gluten-free. But when you stop eating real food and you go buy a gluten-free product in a box or a can, or a vegetarian product in a box or a can, then you're not eating real food anymore.
That's very true. And when you're trying to approximate the flavors of real food, manufacturers tend to use a whole lot of MSG and other artificial flavorings. And now with the obsession for low salt, they're using salt substitutes that are genuine health hazards. The real thing is always
so much
better for us.
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you again because we actually have reached the end of the show. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. my guest has been Dr. Kayla Daniel. You can go to her website, drkayladaniel.com. You can go to toxicfreetalkradio.com. I'm Deborah Lindad with Toxic Free Talk Radio.